Andy. We have to let them in.
I feel like this is the longest agenda we've had in a little while.
Yeah, it is.
Mr. Chair, let me just make a reminder for the commissioner, my colleague, that we do have a letter that Ms. Gould forwarded us relative to this item on our agenda, the one from Attorney Robert Sterringer when the time comes. So beware of that.
Thank you, Commissioner Fiskum.
Should I let them in now?
Yeah.
Thank you. Andy.
Who's William
Gray?
He's also one of these. All right. There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Chair, we're ready when you are.
Right. Thank you. We'll start with item 43, Kurt Lang Borg, former executive director of Oregon Public Defense Services. If we can start with first a staff report, and then we would have a presentation from, we have two attorneys with us. Is that correct?
Yes, sure. Yes.
Okay.
And,
thank you.
And Mr. Chair, Mr. So, Borg, Mr. Borg is here as well.
We will hear from both attorneys. Is that correct?
I think the expectation is that only I will present this morning, and this is Bob Sterringer.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Sterringer. We will start with our staff. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Mason, Commissioners, Susan Myers, Investigator. As Commissioner Fiskum reported earlier this week, we forwarded a supplemental letter that Mr. Sterringer provided. You should have received that by email. The complaint in this case asserted that Mr. Borg, former executive director of the Oregon Public Defense Services, the case is full of acronyms, and I apologize for that, but of OPDS, that he may have violated ethics laws with respect to a contract he negotiated as part of his separation agreement from OPDS. That agreement provided that he would receive a separate one-year contract to provide indigent defense services in Clatsop and Tillamook counties. The separation agreement was signed on March 2nd and 3rd by Mr. Borg and the chair of the Public Defense Services Commission. Per this agreement, he remained executive director of OPDS until June 30th. On June 2nd, Mr. Borg registered an assumed business name with Secretary of State for North Coast Public Defenders. On that same day, he signed a contract as the owner of North Coast with, and it's a little odd, with either the Public Defense Services Commission and or OPDS to provide indigent defense services beginning on July 1st. We have some questions regarding that contract because there are, you know, it says that the contract is signed on behalf of the Office of Public Defense Services, Public Defense Services Commission, and throughout the contract it is a little bit confusing as to whether it's OPDS that's contracting or PDSC. There are other issues that the standard contract term runs from January to December. This particular contract is from July to June. Mr. Sterringer's response asserts that Mr. Borg did not violate 244040 as there was no use of position or exercise of authority. It asserts the agreement is part of his official compensation package and therefore exempt from 244040. And that awarding a contract out of cycle is one not within our purview because the Public Defense Services Commission is not subject to public contracting law and is a routine practice at OPDS. Based on the information available in this preliminary review, it does not appear that the separation agreement or the defense services contract would be included in Mr. Borg's official compensation package. The money to be paid for the future contract is not compensation for Mr. Borg's employment, and the Defense Services contract is not with the employee, it is with the employee's business. Thus, it does not qualify as official compensation. In terms of public contracting law, Mr. Sterringer is correct that the Defense Services Commission is not subject to the public contracting law. Commission staff are not seeking to examine whether PDSC was following that law. Rather, the investigation is needed to determine whether the terms in the contract awarded to North Coast Public Defenders are consistent with those awarded to other firms. And if not, then we would seek to determine whether Mr. Borg received the perhaps inconsistent contract based on his position at OPDS. And finally, ORS 2440.40 subsection 3 prohibits a public official from soliciting or receiving a promise of future employment based on an understanding that the official's actions would be influenced by that promise. It appears in this case that Mr. Borg may have received a commitment for this future contract in exchange for him agreeing to take official action by resigning his position. The report that is in your meeting books recommends moving this case to investigation.
Thank you for that report. This will be your opportunity, Mr. Sterringer, to present to the commission. Thank you for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairperson and members of the commission. We do appreciate the opportunity to be with you this afternoon. Bill Gary and I represent Mr. Borg, who's, as you know, is also here and available to answer any questions that you might have. And I believe that the chair of the Public Defense Services Commission, Per Ramfjord, is either in this meeting or in the waiting room and would be available to the commission as well to answer questions should you have any for him. You have quite a bit of information from the preliminary review, including the two letters from my law firm, one of which we sent early in the process and one we sent just a couple days ago to address specific issues raised in the preliminary review. I'm mindful of the commission's agenda and time pressure, and so I'll do my best not to repeat much from that prior correspondence, and we'll focus on the core issue before you. But just before I get to that, I do want to express that we really don't have disagreements with the factual background that is contained in the preliminary review. We've really appreciated Ms. Meyer's professionalism and courtesies throughout this. So I think the commission has a fairly good understanding of the factual circumstances that bring us here today. The issue we have is about the legal conclusion that is reached from those facts. And that legal conclusion is incorrect, both as to the letter of the law and the spirit of the law being ORS 244.040 sub 1 and sub 3. Frankly, I think it would be a shock to any public employer to learn of this legal theory, which, when stripped from the specific facts of our case, essentially take the position that it is a violation of government ethics laws when a public employee negotiates a severance agreement with their employer. Because that's the only thing that has happened here. And the reason that is mistaken as a matter of law and really with respect to the spirit of the applicable statutes is it really misunderstands what is the aim of that statute with respect to its reference to official acts and use of the official's office. Because when a public employee in a situation like this is dealing with its public employer, that public employee, such as Mr. Borg, really can only act in their individual capacity. I suppose we could come up with some strange hypotheticals where that would be different, but here, the only thing that Mr. Borg was able to bring to the table as an individual who was negotiating his departure from the public body was individual consideration that he could offer up. And in this situation, he was able to agree to his personal decision to resign from his position as the executive director of the Office of Public Defense Services. And he provided a release of the claims that he could have brought, in his view, against his employer, had the employer decided to take the unilateral action of terminating his employment. Those are actions that he took as an individual. They didn't bind OPDS or PDSC. The actions of the public body were taken on behalf of the public body by the chair of the Public Defense Services Commission, Mr. Ramfjord. It's undisputed here that he was acting on behalf of PDSC, and he signed the agreement on behalf of the commission, both the severance agreement and the follow-on agreement for the provision of public defense services. And so it's, bottom line here is, it's not an official act of the public employer when a public employee decides to agree to the terms of a severance agreement. So that's why subsection 1 is inapplicable. Mr. Borg did not use his public office to obtain a private benefit. He simply negotiated his separation from his employment using the what he was able to offer as an individual. The preliminary review also indicates concern that there could have been a violation of ORS 244.040 sub 3, which, as the commission I'm sure knows, is a statute that prevents individuals from soliciting or receiving an offer of future employment in exchange for taking some sort of official action. And so the prototypical situation there would be somebody, a private business that has a matter before a public body, offers future employment to a public official in exchange for some sort of official action to their benefit. Obviously, we don't have anything like that in these circumstances. And again, we don't have an official act on the part of Mr. Borg that triggers the application of this statute. The preliminary review identifies the potential official act as his decision to resign, but that's an individual's agreement to resign is not an official act of the public body. An official act of the public body is just what it sounds like. It's an action that's taken on behalf of the public body, not an action that's taken on behalf of a personal individual, of an individual, of a personal nature. So again, when Mr. Borg resigned his employment, that was a personal action, not an official action on behalf of OPDS. You know, as we pointed out in our letter, the theory that is espoused in the preliminary review would lead to really absurd results in its application, because it effectively would take the position that a public employee could not look for or obtain a job, you know, the next job that individual might want to take, because taking another job necessarily presumes that the public employee would resign from their current position. And that wouldn't make sense in practice, and it doesn't make sense under the law. I'm repeating myself, but it wouldn't make sense because that act of resignation is not an official act of the public body. Last thing I would mention is that the preliminary review does identify three questions for further investigation. Those questions are easily answered. Their outcome wouldn't lead to a different legal analysis here, but they are easily answered, and the individuals who could answer that question are here and are available. And really quickly, the chair of the PDSC signed the contract on behalf of OPDS. So in other words, to be really clear, Mr. Borg did not sign the contract on behalf of the public body. He only signed in his individual capacity. Other public service defense contracts are awarded out of cycle. Mr. Ramfier could confirm in 1 minute that they, in fact, did that just at their very last meeting. There's nothing unusual about that. And he also could confirm that they used the standard template in existence at that time for the contract itself. And so the contract isn't in some way different from those that were being used with other public defenders. Would appreciate the opportunity to answer any questions you might have. Mr. Borg would do that as well, and if Mr. Gary has anything to add, I hope you would hear that. But what we ask is that the commission make the decision to dismiss the complaint because there's no cause for a further investigation, because the legal theory underlying the preliminary review is just inconsistent with state law.
Thank you for the presentation, Mr. Sterringer. I want to open this up for questions from commissioners to staff first, and then move into questions for you folks. We'll start with Commissioner Lindsay.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Sterringer makes a very persuasive argument to me. The thing that smacks a little weird to me is that instead of being cash, that's given as the severance agreement, a contract is given as a severance agreement. I understand that it's the entity that gave the contract, not Mr. Borg. I understand that. I guess my question is to Mr. Sterringer on that, and if staff has a comment in response to him, could you comment a little bit further on a contract being given as severance versus cash, and why that shouldn't smack weird to me?
Well, I think it's understandable that your reaction might be that it is it's unusual, Commissioner Lindsay, because it is true that in most cases when an employer and an employee separate and have a severance agreement, the consideration provided to the employee is just a lump sum payment of cash. In this instance, they decided to structure it in a way in which Mr. Borg would actually have to provide services in exchange for whatever consideration he was receiving under the severance agreement. It doesn't change the legal analysis of whether he used his office for obtaining a private benefit or a violation of 244.403, the type of benefit doesn't matter. And so if the commission decided here that providing that the public employer's provision of a contract would violate these ethics rules. There's really no way to distinguish that from a situation in which the public employer provided a cash benefit to the departing public employee. It's just a different form of consideration or benefit, if that's the position that the commission ultimately takes.
Just a follow-up question to that. Could Mr. Gore lose that contract that was granted? Could it be terminated unilaterally by the contractor?
The contract itself, I'm sure, does have termination provisions.
Okay.
And I'd have to find that.
But another vendor could, or another person could possibly outbid or outwork or out hustle and obtain those services, or is it exclusive to Mr. Borg?
Well, this contract is exclusive to the entity that Mr. Borg established. And so it's what happens is with the provision of public defense services, the commission enters into contracts with providers throughout the state to provide services where they are needed. And so this is one contract out of many that the commission enters into for that purpose. And so under this contract, Mr. Borg provides public defense services within a specific geographic area that that is, I want to be clear in case this matters to you. There are other public defenders in those areas as well. So together, they provide public defense services for those who need it in those geographic areas.
Okay, that makes sense. So his entity was granted, and that entity could hire other people and manage the contract.
Well, I think that's an important part of this to understand in terms of understanding the amount here, because what is required under the contract is that this entity provide the public defense services. That means maintaining the overhead in order to do that, hiring support staff and all of that, and so the amount at issue here is not, it's not as if that all is going to Mr. Borg as the individual. He actually has to invest in overhead to provide those services as part of the contract.
Thank you.
Commissioner Edwards.
Yeah, I think Commissioner Lindsay brings up a good point that I think what really makes me queasy here is the procurement process that seems to have been, you know, I don't know the internal kind of mechanisms of this particular entity, but the contract itself feels problematic to me, but I don't think it's within the purview of our board. So I guess I'm kind of just bifurcating my general unease with what feels like circumventing good public process around contracting and with what our obligations are through our lens. I guess one outstanding question I have is whether or not this contract was ever brought forward to a vote of the public body, and if there was any public disclosure, did that happen in an open session? What happened with this contract? How was it ultimately approved?
So if Mr. Borg knows differently, I'd ask him to correct me on this, but it's my understanding that the contract itself was approved by the Public Defense Services Commission in an open meeting.
Thank you, Commissioner Edwards. Do we have Commissioner Hollister next?
Oh, you're on.
Thank you. I just wanted to understand my understanding of the contracting element, which I understand we don't have jurisdiction over whether or not the contracting process was proper. But my understanding is that this process is not subject to Oregon's procurement code, and instead it falls into the jurisdiction of the judicial department. And so there wouldn't have been specific contracting conditions to meet in this instance. Is that, am I getting that right, Mr. Sterringer?
Yeah, that is true. And it's also true that even within the Oregon public contracting rules, when public bodies contract with professionals, there are further exemptions from the normal types of competitive bidding that you would have. And so it's also not unusual, even if we were operating under the law applicable to other entities, that the public agency would have the ability to contract with professionals without going through a competitive process that you might be familiar with. And I do want to say, I'm going off of my understanding about the approval of the contract in an open session of the commission. I believe Mr. Ramfjord is still in the waiting room here if you wanted to confirm that with him.
I'm comfortable relying on your recollection of that fact, unless other commissioners have a different opinion. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Hollister. Any other commissioners? Seeing none, Commissioner Fiskum.
Thank you. I'm not sure I know how to phrase this question, Mr. Sterringer and Mr. Gary. Nice to see you again. And I'm not sure I have the right page numbers. My document is page 383. It may not be your page number in our preliminary report. I'm looking at first lines 19 through 32 on that page, as well as on the following page, lines 1 through 10. I wondered if you had any, if you could find those paragraphs, Mr. Sterringer, if you had any comment on that. In particular, commission staff sought to determine whether the commitment was included in Mr. Borg's employment contract as part of a severance clause. There was no such clause in his contract, etc. And then further, and perhaps in potentially more importantly, on a line 6 and 7 on page 38, my page 384, the sentence is line 6 and 7. The agreement specifies that Mr. Borg will receive a future defense services provider contract in exchange for his agreement to announce his resignation. Do you have any? My question is a general one. Do you have any comment on that language?
I don't have the same packet that you have, and so I'm not able to track the page numbers.
Hang on a second. Mr. Sterringer, our staff can give you the right page numbers.
He's referring to page 7, paragraph from lines 19 to 28, and then page 8, lines 6 and 7.
That help, Mr. Sterringer? At least you have the right words in front of you.
It does.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Myers. And I at least got the first one. What was the second paragraph so I can have them both here?
It's the next page. I'm not sure what it is for you. Page
8.
Page 8 for you, lines 6 and 7 of that particular paragraph of several lines. That's right in the middle of the paragraph on that page for you.
Thank you. So I do see those, and as a matter as a description of the agreements, we really don't have a dispute. What this is referring to is an alternative argument that we made that the contracts were appropriate additionally because they were an official compensation agreement. The commission doesn't need to reach that question if it agrees with the first point that we've made, which is that there's no official act, there's no use of official position in the first place. And so what we're encouraging the commission to do is to act on that basis here today to determine that the statutes aren't applicable to this situation where there is simply a negotiation of a severance agreement where the individual is doing nothing more than acting in their individual capacity in a negotiation with their employer.
Thank you. The phrase that catches my attention on page 8 for you, your page 8 is, Mr. Borg will receive a future defense services provider contract in exchange for his agreement to announce his resignation. That just catches my attention. To what end, I'm not sure at the moment. But.
So on that, what I would encourage the commission to do is to look at the actual agreement, and I'm, here we go. So we have the agreement itself, and I unfortunately I don't have the page numbers in your packet, so I'm not able to direct you to the exact page, but you have a copy of the confidential separation agreement and general release. And if you look at that, on the first page of the contract, in paragraph B1, what it says is that Borg will resign his position and that he will announce it no later than 3 days after the effective date of the agreement. So that provides a little more, perhaps that provides a little more detail and clarity around the summary that's provided in the preliminary review. But if the concern is that the announcement constitutes some official act, that's where we would disagree. For Mr. Borg to inform the commission that he's resigning his position is not an official act of OPDS or PDSC. That is an expression of his personal decision to resign his employment, and so that's why the statutes are not triggered here.
I guess the way to summarize my concern, Mr. Chair, if you'll allow me one more time, and then I'll wait for the action. If acting as the executive director, whatever the title was, if Mr. Borg acting in that role as the executive prodded the exchange of a contract, if he were to resign, there's a gray area for me in that kind of transaction, which, to state the obvious, I was not a part of. It just raises for me a question about how that occurred as part of an official act of a director in order to, in exchange for the resignation, not yet having resigned. Mr. Chair, thank you.
Yep, Commissioner Fiskum, thank you. We're going to go with Commissioner Edwards and then Commissioner Hollister.
I both appreciate, Chair, that you're really trying to keep us on track with time, so I want to recognize that. And then I just have one quick question for staff, which is if this action is considered part of an official compensation package, and if it's not considered part of an official compensation package, why not?
Thank you, Commissioner Commissioner Edwards, sorry. I mean, it does not appear that the separation agreement or the contract, the indigent defense services contract, would be part of an official compensation package. The contract is not with the public employee. It is with North Coast Public Defenders. And the definition of an official compensation package is an agreement to provide the employee with financial benefits of employment. Additionally, part of why I requested his original employment contract was to see if the contract, if was there a sever- three-year contract for $200,000 to provide indigent defense services. It's not payment to the employee for his employment at OPDS. It is future payment for a future contract to the employee's company, not just pay out of the money we would have had to pay you if you had continued working here.
Thank you.
Commissioner Hollister? Sorry, we have Commissioner Hollister before you, Mr. Derry, and then we'll give you your opportunity.
So I might be oversimplifying this in my own mind, but when I look at the facts, when I look at the law, I'm left with the impression that it's permissible under the Oregon Ethics Law for a public official to negotiate as part of their severance agreement, and in return for a release, any legal consideration that they come to the table as an individual, and they are willing to give up rights not only to their employment but to claims they may have, and in return for that, they're allowed to ask for any legal consideration. I understand the sort of impulse of this, you know, why did he get a contract as opposed to a dollar amount, you know, and frankly, maybe that was easier for the organization's budget. And so OPDS made that call because they didn't want to have to make, you know, a $200,000 payment when they were already facing budgetary difficulties. I mean, I don't know. But it seems like, I mean, just the basic analysis I have is that. That you come to the table, it's an arm's length negotiation between an individual and a board, and, you know, I guess it seems like that's what occurred here. So am I missing some important nuance of this analysis? And if so, I'd love to hear from staff or Mr. Steringer or Mr. Geary about that. Thank you.
We'll move to Mr. Geary, since he's been waiting a while to share his thoughts with us, and then Commissioner Lindsay. And I will encourage everybody, we're going to lose our quorum in about 25 minutes.
He needs to unmute.
You're on mute, Mr. Geary.
Thank you, I apologize. Commissioner Hollister made the same point that I wanted to emphasize. What is important is the agreement that was negotiated for the exit of Mr. Borg, the separation agreement. And a separation agreement, whatever the consideration for it may be, is a part of an official compensation package. That has to be the case. If the employer goes to an employee and says, we'd like you to resign, and the employee says, well, I'm willing to resign and give you a release, but this is what I want in exchange, that negotiation is a negotiation between the employer and the employee acting as an individual, and it is a negotiation toward a part of the official compensation package. And just so there's no confusion, the contract that was part of the consideration, the public defender contract, is with an entity that is merely an assumed business name for Mr. Borg. It's not a separate entity. I don't think that matters, but it's important that you understand that fact. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have, okay, Commissioner Lindsay?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I agree with Commissioner Hollister, Commissioner Edwards, and Mr. Steringer makes a very persuasive argument. I'm prepared to make a motion to dismiss, but one thing I'd like to underline I think we all acknowledge it feels a little weird that instead of giving cash severance, we're giving a contract severance, but I think, in my mind, my questions have been answered. But the big thing I'd like to underline is that even if it were improper to grant a contract in exchange for a release, the entity that made that deal was OPDS, not Mr. Borg. So even if that were wrong, it would be someone at OPDS that should be sitting here under scrutiny versus Mr. Borg. So I just wanted to highlight that. I'm prepared to make a motion to dismiss if you're ready to receive a motion.
We will accept. Thank you.
I move to dismiss case number 21199ESM of today's date, October 22nd, 2021.
And do we have any discussion on the motion? Commissioner Fiscom.
Mr. Chair, just a quick comment. What gives me unease about the motion, which I'm still with Commissioner Lindsay and Hollister's support for it, not to mention Commissioner Edwards, that's to me somewhat persuasive. I still have this gnawing question about whether the executive director of the organization, on his behalf, acting in an official capacity, negotiated a sweetheart deal for himself after he left the job. And, you know, did he use his public office for private gain? And I'm not trying to plumb the legal depths of that as much as to say that's a gnawing concern of mine that's been only addressed in part for me. I understand Mr. Gary and Ms. Hollister and others who talk about an individual act, Mr. Steringer as well, an individual act as opposed to an official act. So thank you for that distinction. Just so you know, I'm still uneasy.
Thank you, Commissioner Fiscom. Maybe
I can respond.
Please.
Commissioner Fiscom.
Can I just say, I mean, even if we get one vote challenging this, it's going to be automatically dismissed. And so I think I'm going to call for question and ask for a roll call vote. I think everybody's had their opportunity to share their opinion. If we can get a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiscom?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you all for your participation and in an effort to keep things moving. We're going to move on to number 46 in our book. I believe that we have them with us.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.